Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you so much. I say it all the time. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. I love being here and chatting with the amazing people we get to talk to. It's such a privilege to do this. And today is one of those days. We're going to welcome back Stuart Scott. He was here a week ago and had a great conversation with Jim Masters. But today I get a chance to chat with him a little bit. He's an author of books, but there's a lot more to him than that. And it's something he's always wanted to do. But what I find remarkable is, you know, I went to college like most when we get out of school. You don't really know what you want to do originally. Anyway, Stuart went to Northeastern University. He got an MA degree from Northeastern. And then he got an MBA from the MIT Sloan School of Management. And upon that, with his graduate degree, he went out and worked in the corporate world for many, many years, 20 years to say the least. And then he found a unique job for 8 years as an analyst for the U.S. Department of Labor. I'm not quite sure how exciting a job that would be, an analyst for the Department of Labor. You know, it sounds like one you sit at a desk and just read a lot of papers, but I could be wrong on that. We're going to find out. Anyway, he eventually retired in 2018, 5 years ago, and then he started doing something he has always felt he wanted to do, and that is writing books. Now, he's written 2 books, one of them highly acclaimed already. It's a great book called Driving Toward Destiny, and then his just released book, which is a follow-up, called Destiny Uncharted. We're going to talk to him now about what his life is like as an author, how he goes about writing books. We have a lot of people who write books and a lot of listeners who love listening to authors talk about their books. You know, I once interviewed Neil Simon, one of the best interviews I think I ever had. And he told me about how he was writing a play. He got halfway through it and then got stuck, didn't know what to do about it. He put the play in a desk drawer, and it wasn't until 2 years later he was having lunch with someone, and somebody said something at that lunch that gave him the clue how he could finish the play. He went back home and in 2 days finished the play. Maybe Stuart has a story like that. I don't know, but let's find out. Stuart Scott, nice to have you with us from Jacksonville, Florida. How are you today, Stuart?
Oh, thank you very much for the introduction, Doug. I appreciate it.
You're very, very welcome. Stay close to your phone now because you sound a little off mic. Anyway,
okay.
Am I about right? You always felt like you wanted to write? I know you really were an avid reader of books in your youth and young years. Was that one of the things that made you feel like you wanted to write books because you read so much?
Yeah, I think I had a very good primary school education. We were called upon to read books of all sorts and write book reports on them, which, you know, can be a chore.
Right.
But the books themselves were terrific for the most part. And, you know, it's just hearing the stories are what really grabbed me. And I would, you know, I'd get sort of drawn into them. One of my favorites, as I mentioned in my first interview with Jim, was Charles Dickens' A Tale of Two Cities, which is just a wonderful story. It's one of Dickens' shortest novels, which is nice because some of his novels can go on forever. But the story was fabulous. And, you know, it was just captivating. And so, I mean, and then I got into reading Hemingway, who I absolutely love, and Fitzgerald, and American authors. And I've kept reading ever since, and I still do. So reading is what really turned me on to it. And, you know, I found that I had a facility with words. I always have had. I was one of the editors of the school newspaper They called me the wordsmith. I could turn around when anybody needed a headline for a news story, and that I could come up with one, you know, right off the top of my head, which fit, you know, it had to fit on the masthead, so I could do that. It was a talent. But so, you know, words and where they can take you are part of my DNA, I guess.
That's great.
Yeah, well, so why didn't I get into writing right away? Well, there is a sort of a simple answer to that. In my second book, actually, I've used that as part of the story of one of the characters. The character says, and this is exactly what happened to me during his later college years, he goes up to his mother and says, you know, I would really like to be a writer. And the mother says to him, ha, you can't be a writer. You have to make money. You can't make money writing. And, you know, if you don't, if you're 19, 20 years old, you know, and you don't really know what the world is all about, and you're living in or near New York City where things are kind of expensive to live, you've got to figure, maybe she's right, and I better put that one in my back pocket and forget about it for a while. So that's what happened to me, and I got caught up in the corporate world and found that it really wasn't, you know, as I plodded through it, you know, either you become a success as you're moving through it and you get to be a vice president or all this up the corporate ladder sort of thing, or you don't. And I didn't, and I moved from firm to firm and found that it just wasn't my bag. And so we came to the financial crisis of 2008, and I found myself without work. And that lasted a while, and I got sort of lucky. I was recruited into the United States Department of Labor, where I got this job as an analyst in that agency. And, yeah, you said that doesn't sound like the most glamorous stimulating job.
No, it doesn't.
And it wasn't. There was a lot of spreadsheets, a lot of, you know. But it was a job that put money in the pocket. And it did have a satisfying aspect to it in that it had to do with making sure that there was equity in the workplace for the minorities and women as far as hiring and pay and that sort of thing. And so, you know, we would go in and try and discover that major employers were, you know, adhering to the rules. And for the most part, I mean, for the greater part, they did and were doing so. So, I mean, you know, that was good. But there has to be an enforcement aspect to that.
Yeah. They loved seeing you coming, didn't they? I said they loved seeing you coming, I'm sure. But,
yeah, right. No. That's it.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
That was not the case. Yeah.
All right.
So
good.
Anyway, I did that for 8 years. And then finally, you know, as you said, it was just too routine. I just burned out of it. And I retired. And I wasn't exactly sure what I was going to do when I pulled the plug. You know, I had in the back of my mind, well, you know, now here I am. I've got some money in the bank and I can, you know, make a choice. At that point, I had moved to Florida where I am now, and it's a good deal less expensive to live here than it was in the Northeast where I was living before. And so I started to work out how to write books. And, it, you know, it is not, although I've read hundreds and hundreds of books, it is not something you just turn over and say, okay, I know how to read a book. That means I know how to write a book. That's not the way it works.
So let's talk about that. I find this fascinating. Yeah. Explain to me. Let's go through the path you took to write the book. Number one, you first had to come up with an idea, right? You weren't writing a biography.
That's not the first thing at all. No. Nope.
Really?
What you have to do is you've got to know how to lay a book out so that it buys a reader. it first it attracts a reader, hooks a reader, and draws the reader to keep on reading. And at the end of the book, it has to present a satisfying ending to the reader. And there are points along the way in each of those steps. For instance, at the end of the book, one of the things you want to show is that your main character has gone through a stage of growth. If it's a bad character, you might want to say he's redeemed himself. If it's a good character, he's grown and he's working on his next stage of life, that sort of thing. But the reader wants to see that. He just doesn't want to see the same guy at the beginning and at the end. You know, that's flat. You know, that doesn't show any. He wants to go through a set of crises, whereby he solves these crises. He resolves the problems that he's had to go through. And how do you present those? And you know, so that there's a lot you have to build this into your plot line. I can give you a simple plot line which turned into a multi-billion-dollar enterprise, and that is the plot line of Luke Skywalker.
Right.
Luke Skywalker starts off as a kid on a desolate planet somewhere out there, and he gets, due to circumstances beyond his control, he gets tapped to with Obi-Wan Kenobi to move forward in life and learn about the Force and learn that he has these powers that allow him to use the Force in the benefit of mankind and all this sort of stuff. And the plot line for that is called A Hero's Adventure. And it's a fairly straightforward plot line. It goes. It doesn't need any backstory, but it doesn't need to go back in time to show what he was like as a child necessarily. Although some of the episodes, I think the second set of three movies. When he was a child and learned how to race those racers through the canyons and whatnot, showed his earlier life. But the first three movies show very clearly how he started off as a teenager and became a hero. Just, you know, going from one stage to another, he also learned that his father was the evil Darth Vader, and he didn't like that idea very much, but he managed to digest that, and they defeated Darth Vader. At least they put him aside for the moment after the third episode.
Let me get you to talk about your book, your first book, Driving Toward Destiny. It was set in 1971 during the Vietnam War. Why that setting? Had you been in Vietnam? Were you in the service?
No, it wasn't during the it wasn't in the Vietnam War. What happened was I was subject to the book is a little bit autobiographical, or more than a little bit. I was subject to the draft, and I had a very tenuous draft number, which could have been called. In fact, it had been called the year before, and I was sitting there waiting to see if I was going to get called, and I was not happy about the whole situation. And during that period, my parents were saying, "Ew, what are you doing? You're sitting around the house. You should go out and get a career." And I said, "Why get a career? I could get called up and get shot, you know, and that'll be the end of that. I'm not going to waste my time, you know, playing around, going
getting
to a bank
job.
Or
yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of thing is not what I'm, you can't build on that. So I, instead of just waiting around, a friend of mine had gone to Berlin, and he invited me to come over. And at first I said, no, that's crazy. I don't want to do that. But there wasn't anything else I could do. So, you know, I sold my VW bus, and I took off, and I spent 4 months with him in a commune in Berlin, and then he talked me into buying a motorcycle, a BMW motorcycle. And then he had all of a sudden had to leave, and I was alone, and I didn't want to pay rent. So I took off, and I drove from Berlin to Austria, to Vienna, to Budapest, to Belgrade, to Athens, and I took a ferry, and I went over to Crete, and I went to the South Shore of Crete, and that's what the book is all about. And all the people that I've met on the way and the things that I saw and did. And, you know, I wrote the book by hand, 150,000 words, and not knowing that you shouldn't write more than 70 if you're going to get a publisher to publish it. So I had to self-publish it. But, you know, I applied to a couple of contests, three contests, and I won a finalist award in all three of them. And so that told me that I was sort of headed in the right direction. You know, it was very gratifying. And so when it came to writing a second book, I took that main character and I followed him along. I wrote a book of about 50,000 words. Following what happened to him and his girlfriend after they came back to the States. He met this girl on the South Shore of Crete, and they fell in love, and et cetera. So I don't want to give the whole thing away, but the second book tells that the things didn't go quite so smoothly, but it worked out in the end.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Let me ask you a couple of questions here. Number one, about how do you write? I say you have to have an idea. You did have an idea, whether you say,
well,
you know,
true.
On,
that's true.
True.
But
how did you go about writing it? Explain that to me. Did you you were retired, you were home, you probably could have stayed in bed until noon if you wanted to. But I mean, did you get up at you know, early in the morning or whenever you got, and then Dick, you know, spend X number of hours working on your book, or, you know, how did you do it?
That's a classic question that everybody who wants to write has to answer for themselves. You have to treat it like a job. You've got to get up and write every day, or almost every day. You've got to devote whatever time during the day that you feel most comfortable, which is your creative period. You know, I don't like to get up too early, but by the time 10 o'clock rolled around and I'd had breakfast, you know, I could sit down and write for 4 or 5 hours, you know.
Right.
And if I
right.
couldn't, if I found I needed to go out and take a walk instead, you know, I'd do that. But, you know, I had, here's a major point. It isn't just a matter of writing. Some writers are called pantsers, and that means that they write by the seat of their pants. They just sit down and they start going. I suppose they make notes on where they're going to go next and whatnot. I don't know. And as I understand it, Stephen King is a pantser. He does not plot out his books. He just picks up his pencil and starts writing, I guess. But I can't even think about doing that. What I do is I plot the book out from the beginning right to the end. And it starts out with what is known as an exposition, which tells what the story is going to, how the day and who the people are, the time of the period where the novel is taking place. And then it builds up in action stages until it reaches a climax. And then after the climax, it descends, the action descends as a result of what happened in the climax. It comes to what is known as a denouement, which sort of ties the pieces together. And then there's a resolution. And it says what has happened to the main character, how his growth has, it gives examples of how his growth has changed him and the people around him. So I have this all plotted out on a board on the wall, which I use push pins, and I cut out pieces of paper. I handwrite these stages out, rising action one, rising action two, three, climax, descending action one, two, three, et cetera. And then once I finish that, and I know that they're correct, and I know that that's exactly where I want to be, and that takes months because I tear them up and throw them away frequently enough until they all fit. Then what I'll do is I'll take the first one down, and I'll put it next to my keyboard, and I'll start typing in how the novel starts, how the actions build, how it continues to build, what the climax is. And it doesn't have to be that rigid, you know. You have to allow for, oh, hey, wait a minute, I see something else can fit in here, you know, and you can do that. But basically you're following a roadmap that you have created for the book. And you do that, and you do it every day. I mean, you know, I mean, if you want to have to go away for 4 or 5 days, okay. But you're ready to go when you come back until the book is finished.
You know, that's the same way a lot of directors make movies. Spielberg is one who does that. They do storyboards. You may write captions, little notes on what the stories are going to be. But in the movie world, they do storyboards of what the action is. And then they storyboard the whole movie, you know. So it's amazing, and it works that way. It's great if you can do that when you're writing your books. So you know how the book is going to end before you actually begin writing it.
Oh, surely. Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's very amazing. You know, the other big challenge for people who write books is, number one, as you write them and you go along, do you let anybody – did you, by the way, have anybody help you write? You know, there are coaches who help writers give them input. Did you have anyone like that work with you or not?
I have a friend of mine who's a screenwriter, and she's actually had a movie produced, and she's written about 8 or 9 screenplays, and she does have a coach. And she relies on him, and he gives her good feedback, and they have a great working relationship. I have no one. No.
Okay.
What's more, my second book, I didn't have an editor either. I found that the editor I had for my first book was superfluous. I have a very keen eye for everything, especially words. I use a thesaurus extensively, but I mean, I spot punctuation errors, I spot grammatical errors, spelling errors. I can just pick those things off. And if I have a doubt, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'll run a small section of the book through a couple of paragraphs through ChatGPT. And see what the AI has to say about it. And sometimes it gives me a few,
that's interesting.
It will sometimes give me a sentence structure that's different from mine, which I like better. But, for the most part, I will not just take that and throw it into the book because it doesn't sound like me. You know, I know very much what my voice sounds like, and so, you know, it can't imitate that. But if it wants to give me a different sentence structure or throw in a different word here or there, I'll take it. Sure, why not?
Now, let's talk about getting the book published. Did you get it published or did you self-publish?
I self-published both my books.
All right. Did you try and get, a main publisher interested in your book and it didn't work out? What do you think?
Okay, that's a good question. I did not. I have spoken I've listened to writers' conferences online, and what I learned, and then I went to a writers' conference at the Miami Book Fair, and which is, I think, the largest in this country, and I've spoke with a bunch of people down there. And what I'm told is that the major publishers, if you get an agent and they take it to a major publisher, the major publisher will publish your book. They'll take your IP rights. They won't do any marketing for you. And you're just there. You know, what have you got? Nothing. And you don't have the IP rights for the intellectual property rights for it anymore either. I said, wait, That's ridiculous. That isn't the way it is. It should be. And it's because Amazon has taken over the book business, and the major publishers can't apparently make money doing it the way they used to do it. They can't assign an editor to a writer to help them, you know, get through the writing process. They can't spend any money on the marketing. And so that whole part of the business is just withered and died, I guess. And the people that I spoke to in Miami at least said, you know, keep it. Keep the IP rights for yourself and go off and get marketing done elsewhere. And that's what I've done. My second, the people that I've used to have my second book, they designed the cover, they formatted it, you know, they put it all together. And they're also, I also purchased their marketing services, and they're using pretty heavily, using it, social media for it. And they're promoting it heavily. I've already gotten 50 likes on one social media platform, 100 likes on another. So, I mean, this has only been going on for a week or so, so I don't know where it's all going to lead to. But what I'm seeing is that Amazon, the book is, the second book is way in advance of sales than the first book, which got virtually no marketing from the I went to Vanity Press, which is owned by one of the big five publishers, and I got really reamed on the price, and I got, you know, very little back, except they put it out in a nice volume, you know, big, great. But the other one is fine, and Amazon does the printing on demand anyway, so it comes out pretty much the same.
Interesting. Let me just give, we're almost out of time, Stuart. We're talking to Stuart Scott, who is a writer who's giving us some really good insight on how you write a book, how you can live as an author. I guess a lot of people would be interested to know, that did you make money on the first book, or are you making money on the first book? That's probably
not
what.
No. A nickel. No, very not.
Not
no.
A nickel.
What I'm trying to do is using the second book to promote the first one.
Right.
I included the first, you know, four or five pages of the first one at the back of the second one, and said, if you like this book, you know, you can go back and read the first one, which is really sort of the prequel to the second one. So hopefully that'll draw some interest.
Well, listen, you know, your story is amazing. Your background and what you've done through your life. Now you're working on doing books. I'm sorry, you didn't make a nickel on that first book. You've got to make some money on the second book. You'll get disillusioned if you don't make something, don't you think, eventually, or not?
Well, let's put it this way. I can't afford to spend money on the third book unless I start making some on the first two.
The second book. Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That all makes
so
sense.
So we'll see what happens. I might write a third one anyway, because it's a fun thing to do.
Well, listen, I know writing a book is not easy, but it does occupy a lot of time. And if you're retired, as you are now, you know, maybe that's the best thing for you to be doing. And who knows, maybe you might strike the gold mine before long. Anyway, good luck to you. Stuart Scott's been our guest. His first book was Driving Toward Destiny. His just-released book is Destiny Uncharted. Where is it available? Is it in Barnes & Noble? Obviously Amazon, right?
Right. Exactly. And Goodreads also.
Very good. Listen, Stuart, it's been great chatting with you. I love the input you give
Same
us
here.
And the advice, and I'm sure a lot of other people listening to it enjoyed hearing your story. So it's great. And you encourage others, too. So thank you so
thank
very
you.
Much. Good luck to you.
Thank you
good
too.
Luck to the book.
Thank
I
you.
I want you to make some
yep,
money.
Bye-bye.
We all do. Goodbye.
Okay.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
I'm Doug Llewellyn. Thanks for being with us, everybody. We'll see you next time. Till then, take care, and bye for now.